Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. You know, since yesterday's program, I have been reflecting on the incredible generosity of God in giving us His Son to save us, to be with us in flesh and blood, to speak to us and to help us and to save us. And then, if that wasn't enough, then He gives us of His own Spirit. And in these days and weeks that lie ahead here, we're going to be celebrating all of that. We're going to be celebrating the Ascension. We're going to be able to celebrate Pentecost. In the next 10 days or so, we just have a lot of celebrating to do. Glory to God. But the point I want to make with you is this. Don't be superficial in this. Take time to personally thank God for allowing His apostles and hence us to be able to see Him actually ascend into heaven. What a breathtaking thing that must have been. Proof again of His divinity. And He wants to give us of His own Spirit. I know when I recognized that, when all the graces of my baptism and my confirmation came alive in me, it changed me forever. It really changed me. And I want to encourage you in these days, both in the celebrations and in the waiting for the celebrations, take time with God. Thank Him for giving us His Son. That's beyond anything conceivable in my mind that He would give us His Son to help us come safely home. And not only that, but as I said a moment ago, He would give us His own Spirit, not just a drop of it. He would give His Spirit to us. Brothers and sisters, as a friend of mine once said many years ago, he said, we're royalty. We're really royalty in the kingdom of God. If we have accepted Him, if we've received Him into our lives, if we're seeking to live life in a way that conforms to the Scripture, conforms to the teaching of the church, it won't hamper you, it won't hinder you, it won't shackle you, it will set you free to know the living God. Really? I'm not just saying that. It's the truth. But we're the ones that need to bow down. We're the ones that need to say, Lord, I don't get all this. I don't understand it all. But I do love You, and I do want to follow You more closely. Will You help me? It's immediate. He will help. He loves it when we open our hearts to Him. So let's anticipate these days, but anticipate them with a very clear examination of conscience. Repent for what you need to repent for, and then ask God to increase your faith, that you may believe that the promises that Jesus gave us are meant for you and for me. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verses 22 to 34. The crowd in Philippi joined in the attack on Paul and Silas. So remember, we had just read that they were warned that they would suffer. And here we are. The crowd in Philippi joined in the attack on Paul and Silas, and the magistrates had them stripped and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After inflicting many blows on them, they threw them into prison and instructed the jailer to guard them securely. When he received these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and secured their feet to a stake. They are wounded, brothers and sisters. They're hurting. They have been badly beaten, and now their feet are tied to a stake. That alone would be very painful. But look at what the next verse tells us. About midnight, while Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, as the prisoners listened, There was suddenly such a severe earthquake that the foundations of the jail shook. All the doors flew open, and the chains of all were pulled loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, thinking that the prisoners had escaped. If you were in charge and something like that happened, all the responsibility was on you. These are pagans. But he would kill himself. It was the step that he would take. But Paul shouted out in a loud voice, "Do no harm to yourself. We are all here." Nobody was escaping. They could have. Nobody did. He asked for a light and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. He's astonished at them. And then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Look, that one statement of, "Don't worry, we're all here. We're where you want us to be. We're not escaping," must have touched his heart at a profound level. Because he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He's seen power, and he's seen his own reputation and perhaps his own life having been saved. So what must I do? Called an almost instant conversion. It touched a deep chord in him. And notice, he responded right away. Not, "Oh, this is interesting, I have to think about this," but, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you and your household will be saved." So they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to everyone in his house. He took them in at that hour of the night and bathed their wounds. Then he and all his family were baptized at once. This is a man who really was sold out for God by his experience with the apostles, with the first disciples. Does your life affect other people? Smaller, more hidden ways most of the time? Does your life affect other people? It should. It should, and it can. By cooperating with the grace that God is willing to give you if you open your heart to him. He brought them up into his house, and he provided a meal. So not only does he wash their wounds, but he provides them a meal, and with his household rejoiced at having come to faith in God. Talk about conversion. Talk about an immediate conversion. And why? Can you imagine if I had been beaten and then I was tied, my feet were tied to a stake in the ground? Can you imagine that the first thing, when I got freed, the first thing I would say was to my persecutor, "Don't worry, we're all right here. We haven't escaped. We're all here." Look at that. I don't know about you, but my first thought might have been silence, like, "I just don't get this. What just happened?" How do we respond when we're under difficult circumstances and are suddenly released from them? Do we just focus on ourselves, or do we reach out to those who made it possible and thank them? Psalm 138, "Your right hand saves me, O God." And it's true. God's right hand is there for us, brothers and sisters, in all the circumstances in which we find ourselves. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 5 to 11. Jesus said to his disciples, "Now I am going to the one who sent me, and not one of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I told you this, grief has filled your hearts. But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go." They don't get this. I'm going to the one who sent me. And the grief in their hearts is so great that they can't, It can't exceed to this. But Jesus tells them, if I do not go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Who's the advocate? The Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Sin, because they do not believe in me. Righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. Condemnation, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. So Jesus is now this beautiful, beautiful section of the gospel. He's going to return to the Father. But he says to them, if I go, the Holy Spirit will come. And that Holy Spirit will dwell in you. And that Holy Spirit will lead you into all the truth. And that Holy Spirit will reveal to you the joy that I have for you and the hope that I have for you and the love that I have for you. The Holy Spirit will be there and will equip you and will help you. Brothers and sisters, this is real. It's not just pious words about something that happened a couple thousand years ago. That's not it at all. What Jesus is saying here is intended for us as well. When Jesus was speaking to his first disciples, he knew that he was speaking to all of us who would follow him. With God, there's no limit on time. God can see the whole picture. And he says, if I do not go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he will convict you about sin. He will show you a path of righteousness. Oh, brothers and sisters, God has so much. His presence brings a joy and a peace that are not part of this world, that's for sure. If you follow him, if you listen to him, if you read his word, if you seek one step at a time to turn yourself more in his direction, letting go of habits and patterns of sin, just do it meaningfully, do it, but do it slowly. Don't say, oh, by the end of this week, I'm going to be rid of this sin when it's been a habit your whole life. No. You go to the Lord and say, teach me how to get rid of this. Help me. And come before the Lord every day, just seeking him, just simply, Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to receive all the graces that you have for me. I know that this pattern of sin in my life can retard, can even obliterate your presence in my life. Lord, I desire you. I make a decision to want you more than I want this habit or pattern of sin. You start praying that way, and God will enter your life more deeply, and God will bless you, and God will set you free. But we've got to follow him. You can't just throw up a token prayer and say, well, nothing happened. You come to him day after day after day. He's preparing your heart to receive his grace. Let him be in charge. You follow, and you will see all that God has for you. May God abundantly bless you today. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD from Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.